Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is now the 8:30 hour on Wednesday, and it's time for Inspirational Wednesday Bible Study. I'm Diane Adams, your host for Wednesday Night Inspirational Bible Study, brought to you by Words of Wisdom. Always an honor, a privilege, and glad that you are all tuning in. I see the callers coming in on the switchboard, and I'm thankful, and I'm grateful. You know, but every time we have to take time from our busy schedule, you know, to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise that he's worthy of. You know, God is our keeper. God is our protector. God is allowing this to happen right now, and I just have to say thank you. I thank each and every one of you who take time from your schedule on Wednesday night and come and explore the Word of God together. It is so rewarding and so refreshing to meet every Wednesday night. I pray that each and every one of you had a wonderful week. Since we were together on last week, I pray that you got to do what you wanted to do, and God deliver what you may have been asking him for, and everything is working out together for your good. So with that, as always, I want to know if anybody would like to pray. If you would like to pray for the lesson tonight, if you press the one button on your phone, I'll open your mic and you could pray. If not, I'm going to prayer. And I want to let you guys know that the lesson tonight is on forgiveness. And the title says, Forgiveness is Good for the Soul. Forgiveness is good for the soul. And it's coming from the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 21st through the 31st verse. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and play a song. Well, I'm going to pray, then play the song, and we'll go straight into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again that you have allowed us to meet together, to hear your word, to allow the Holy Ghost to take what we learn and don't let it return void, and the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation. Heavenly Father, I pray that you open up the ears, the hearts, and the minds of everyone that's going to receive the word. Let us realize, dear God, if it's the word of God, that that's what we need to use and apply in our lives. Let us not just be hearers, but become doers. Heavenly Father, and I pray for each and every person that is on the line or listen, internet or Facebook or whatever mode of communication they may be listening at, that you protect them, that you find favor in all of their lives, dear God, and just be with them and walk with them. Heavenly Father, this is my prayer. It's just a request, but everything we know, not our will, but your will be done if it's your will. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do for us. Lord, I say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. Well, for those who just came in, the lesson tonight is on forgiveness, and it's coming from Matthew's, the 18th chapter, the 21st verse, through the 35th verse. At this time, you could take a little time and get your Bibles and get ready, because the lesson is going to go forth once this song is played. Thank you.
bells crying out to you. Here I am, yielding my soul to you. Here I am, knowing you see me through, and I give my heart to you.
Giving myself to you.
Knowing you see me through.
Knowing you see me through.
And I give my heart to you.
Completely yours. Here I am,
wanting more of you. Here I am.
Here I am, and it's now time to go into the Bible study. Again, the lesson is forgiveness is good for the soul. Matthew's the 18th chapter, the 21st through the 31st verse. As we go into this lesson, you know, I always give background, and since I have taught so much about Matthew's, we know Matthew's wrote the book of Matthew's, and he was a tax collector. So since I think we had given that so many times before, I just want to give a little background on forgiveness, and then we'll go into the lesson and see what the Word of God says even deeper with it. So what I did, and it's going to be just the background, I say let's put first things first. It is impossible to live in this fallen world without getting hurt, violated, offended, misunderstood, lied to, and lied on, and rejected. Now understand that. It is impossible to live without some of these things happening to you. Now if it haven't happened to you yet, keep living And I guarantee that some of them will. But you see, learning how to respond properly to these situations is one of the basics of a Christian life. It's just basic. It's you know, how to deal with it. We learn as Christians. We could be in this world, but not of this world. You see, the word forgive means to wipe the slate clean, to pardon or cancel a debt. A definition for forgiveness should be, or could be, I think this is pretty cool, a definition of forgiveness could be giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. I'll say that again. When you forgive somebody, it might be seeming like you giving up your right to hurt them because they hurt you. Forgiveness. When we wrong someone, we seek his or her forgiveness in order for the relationship to be restored. It is important to remember that forgiveness is not always granted because a person deserves to be forgiven. How you like that? You know, I'll forgive them, but they don't deserve to be forgiven. Who making up the rules? Come on now. I'll read that again. It is important to remember that forgiveness is not always granted because the person deserves to be forgiven. Instead, forgiveness is an act of love, mercy, and grace. I believe forgiveness is a choice we make through a decision of our will, and it should be motivated by our obedience to God and his command for us to forgive. And a lot of people don't know this, and that's why it might not be working for a lot of people. Some people don't care, but some people may really want to forgive, and it just don't seem to be working. But I came to tell you tonight that we forgive by faith, out of obedience. Come on now. We forgive by faith, out of obedience. Listen at this. Since, forgiveness, it really goes against our nature. You know, our sinful nature that we had since the beginning with Adam and Eve. You know, our nature is not a forgiving nature. It goes against our nature in the first place. So we must forgive by faith, whether we feel like it or not. We must trust God to do the work in us that needs to be done so that the forgiveness will be complete. How many people say, I've forgiven? I have forgiven. They don't act like it. And every now and then, you know, from their conversation, you know they haven't forgiven. But they say, you know, you got to trust God to do the work that need to be done so that forgiveness will be complete. It's a job. Like everything else is a job for God, our forgiveness giving and receiving forgiveness is also a thing of God. So here we see that forgiveness is a process. First of all, I want you to know that God honors and honor your commitment to obey him and our desire to please him when we choose to forgive. But he completes the work in his own time. We must continue to forgive, which is our job. And how should we do it? By faith. And then wait until the work of forgiveness, which is God's job, is done. Not in our mind, but in our hearts. Once we forgive someone, how we act towards that person may change. And that's normal, so I'm letting y'all know. You know, if you forgive somebody, it don't mean you got to just stay right in there with them and keep yourself in the same position. And you know, if you're in the same position, you'll probably be in position to get the same thing to happen to you. But remember, you know, when you forgive somebody, you know, the way you act with that person may change. That's okay. Don't get forgiveness confused with something else. Forgiveness does not mean that we will put ourselves back in harmful situation or that we suddenly accept or approve of the person's wrong behavior. It simply means we release them from the wrong they committed against us. We forgive them because God forgave us. And there's a scripture in the book of Ephesians 4:31 and 32. And that scripture says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Always remember, we did not deserve forgiveness, but God granted it to us because of his love for us. And you see right there in that scripture in the Ephesians, it talks about slander. You know, when somebody hurt us, you know, we just want to tell everybody how no good they are. You know, we want to tell everybody, you know, and after a while, you know, sometimes you got to be careful because sometimes when you're trying to slander someone else, you may think it's making you look good. You know, some people got to talk down and bad about someone else to make themselves look good. But it don't usually work anyway. But people do it all the time. But the Bible said, put away slander, anger, wrath, bitterness, and malice. So when I decided to talk on forgiveness, you know, I needed the scripture to use, and the Holy Ghost gave me Matthew's, the 18th chapter, the 21 and the 31st verse. And I'm going to start right there for those who have their Bible on the 21st verse in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew's. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? He said, up to seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. You see, to fully understand what Jesus was saying, you know, whenever I'm giving you this, and then maybe tonight when you go back and read your scriptures and you meditate on the Word of God, always try to read the whole chapter. Always try to at least read some verses up and some verses behind so you could get what was really being said and what was really intended. You see, but to fully understand what Jesus was saying here, you have to look at the content in the whole chapter. You see, Jesus was teaching, and it wasn't just on forgiveness, but it was a lot about forgiving one another. But he was also talking about Christian character, both in and out of the church. You see, all of the teaching on forgiveness, it evidently was overwhelming the disciples. So as you see, as the scriptures start, Peter asked the question. And he said, how many times to forgive someone? Up to seven times. You see, Peter was hoping to appear to have a forgiving spirit more than the others. Because you see, back then, the Jewish rabbis at that time taught that forgiving someone more than three times was unnecessary. So Peter knew what was being taught, that it was three times. So when Peter, you know, went to God, Jesus, and asked him the questions, he was trying to, you know, get a little brownie point. He said, what about seven times? So he doubled it plus one, right? But the rabbis was pointing and using what was in the law. And what Jesus was talking about was grace. They don't compare. And if you want to see where the rabbis taught about forgiving three times, it's in Amos 1:3-13. You see, in that scripture, God forgave Israel three times, their enemies three times. And after that, he punished them, and they used that for the number of times they figured you should forgive. They was using that as their model. So that's why Peter said seven. When God responded that forgiveness should be offered 490 times, which is 70 times seven. See, Jesus came back when Peter said up to seven times. No, Jesus said 70 times seven, which is 490 times. He was stating that there is no limit on how many times you should forgive or how many times you should be forgiven by others and how many times you should forgive yourself or how many times you will be forgiven by God. There's no limit. You do it over and over and over and over and as much as it takes and every time necessary. So don't get it twisted. Don't take and look at somebody and say, I done forgave them 10 times. You forgive them again. And remember what I said, you don't have to just be, you know, the way once you forgive, you know, the way you treat the person may be different. You got to use common sense. But you got to forgive because it's a commandment from God. You see, Jesus continued to teach. And then after that verse, and when he got to the 23rd, he gave a parable. Jesus continued to teach, and he used a parable. This parable of the unforgiven servant is used by Jesus to reinforce the power and the importance of the principle of forgiven. You see, here Jesus is going to use a parable, and we know a parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus used parables because in parables he could use things that you're familiar with and you might get the concept and the meaning a little bit better. So Jesus tells this parable, which is a story, and when Jesus does it, you come out and you have to say most of the time, wow. And then I'm going to start at the 23rd verse, and it says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought into him that owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, the master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payments be made. You see, when you look at this, Jesus is telling his story to his disciples and his teaching. But you see, you got to when you look at a parable, you got to understand. And Jesus said, everybody can't understand. It's not for everybody. It's for us, the believers, his children, the body of Christ. So when you read it, you could get a little. You should be able to peep some of it out. But here we see that the certain king represented God, to whom all the debts are owed. Remember, Jesus paid the price and all to him we owe. You see, that servant represent the person or individual sinner, the ones who owe the debt. Now, I'm going to tell you, that particular servant owed 10,000 talents. And that was a whole lot of money back there. That was that debt was equivalent to thousands of dollars in our currency. This amount of money represented the debt of sin, which a sinner cannot possibly pay alone by himself, and the servant definitely way back then couldn't pay it to the king. You see what happened? He owed it. It was a lot. He went before the king, get it together, and that's what Jesus is saying. And then the servant, therefore, I'm on 26, fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion. That master released him and forgave his debt. You see, here we see that the servant was forgiven his debt. He was pardoned. Now, that's forgiveness. That's pretty good, huh? That's pretty good. And that's what happened. But look at the twist in the story. And then we get to the 28th verse. And they say, but the servant, That man, after being pardoned, that servant went out and found a fellow servant that owed him 100 denarios. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Now, this is Jesus telling this story. Now, get in with it. This is Jesus. He said, pay me what you owe. You see, a denarius is a penny. It's like worth a penny. And 100 denarios is $10. Now, the man who he choking and wouldn't, you know, want to collect from and handling like that, owed him pennies, and he owed thousands. And the one he owed the thousand to, pardon him, but this man who owed him 100 denarios, which is 100 pennies, which is, well, 100 denarios is worth like $10. Well, 100 pennies is a dollar, but 100 denarios is worth about $10. It's pennies, is what I'm saying. So this fellow servant fell down on his feet, just like the other man that did, and begged, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. That's the same words that the servant who had been forgiven by the king had said and was forgiven, and a man is using the same words to him. And he would not, verse 30, but went and threw him in prison until he could pay his debt. The same forgiven servant now refused to forgive his fellow servants for mere pennies due. And verse 31, so when his fellow servant, the other people was looking at it, you know how people always looking at you and seeing what you're doing. They had saw that king had forgiven him of all them millions of dollars, you know, and now they see him handling somebody who owe him like that. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Now that's the king who had forgiven him. And then we get to 32, and it says, then his Lord, after he had called them and said to him, O wicked servant, I forgave thee all that I forgave all that debt. Because you desired me, which means because you asked me, you begged me, you put a petition, and I accepted it. He says, should not you have also compassion for your fellow servant, as even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth, meaning angry and mad, and delivered him into the tormentors, which was the jail, till he could pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. This 35, and I'm going to read it again. And I'm just reading the scripture, the word of God from the Bible. And 35 says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. And that's the word of God. And I'm sure y'all got a clear understanding what happened. And from that, we're going to go a little bit further. The Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness. There are times when you get angry, when people hurt us, or when we feel betrayed. When this happened, we have options. It's going to happen. Not if it happened, but when it happened, you're going to have options. You know how you get into something and you hear yourself whooping and hollering, or you see yourself getting going into your old nature, and then when it's all over, you say, I wish I could have handled myself better than that. I want you to know that this will happen. People will hurt you. You know, that you're going to be betrayed, you're going to get angry, you're going to do all of that. But when it happens, you got options. and you have the option. You can hold on to anger forever. You can let it build up and fester inside of you, or you can let go of your anger and resentment in order to forgive or receive forgiveness. Understand how to forgive others and learning to forgive yourself. That's important. You know, we have to forgive others, but that's a big part for us to forgive ourselves. It comes from seeing God as the ultimate figure in how to forgive. We have to use God as our guide. Don't use your neighbor next door. Don't use the pastor. Don't use the usher. Don't use this one. Don't use that. Use God. You see, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son in order to forgive our sins. I mean, he gave his son unto death. I mean, he allowed him to be beaten and carried the cross so that our sins can be forgiven. Now, that's the ultimate forgiveness. And things that's going on or happen to you in your life, they can't even measure up to that. Come on now, y'all. Let's get with the program, unless the program gonna get with us. God allowed his son to be offered up in sacrifice to forgive our sins. We got to remember, we all have our flaws. And yes, there are consequences at times for our sins. Yet because we face consequences, does that mean that God has not forgiven us? You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, I'm going to die for your sins, but you're going to live with your consequences. So never get that twisted. Never, you know, get that misunderstood. You're going to have consequences for your sins. Jesus, you know, just like God forgave our sins. He didn't take our consequences. And just because we have consequences for our action doesn't mean that God didn't forgive us. When you forgive the wrong that has been done unto you, I'm going to say it again. When you forgive the wrong that has been done unto you, the one who has done the wrong will still have to face their consequences. In other words, when somebody do wrong to you, there's something already in place to take care of what they did. You see, forgiveness does not release them from reaping which was sown. So you ain't got to make up stuff to get back at them. You don't have to create no good way to hurt them. You can't go against your God-given nature, or shouldn't go, to try to make them look bad. There's already things in place for that. You're forgiven. Do not take away their consequences. Forgiveness does not release them from reaping what they sowed. If they hurt you, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. They mistreated you, somewhere they're going to get mistreated. It don't have to be by you. You know, like some people say, you know, I'm going to forgive him and wash my hand with it because he's going to get his, but it don't have to be at my hands. Remember that. Sometimes people do things that are just mean. Sometimes they mean it and sometimes they don't. Either way, it can be difficult to forgive someone who hurt us. Yet forgiveness is a choice. We can build up grudges and be constantly angry at someone who has done us wrong. Often these type of grudges break ties with one another, draw lines between friends, destroy families, and continue to build bitterness inside of us. There's a reason God asks us to forgive, because it is freeing. It releases us out of bondage that we have placed ourselves in. You see, once you forgive, you no longer have to control the situation or hold on to the anger. Come on now. You know, it was a situation in my life one time, and I was very bitter. And I know I hadn't forgiven because I wasn't even thinking about forgiveness. And I kept trying to, I was ridiculous. I was pitiful. you know, thinking about, you know, that person being hurt. It just seemed like they deserved to be hurt. And you know, I would always try to think of a way to push it on, to start the process. And the Holy Ghost would always come to me and say, then what, you know? But I didn't go through with nothing, but I kept on. And then one time God said, I cannot step in, you know, I heard it in my spirit. I cannot step in this situation and handle anything long as you got your hands on it. You know, sometimes we got to let go and let God. What forgiveness does not require us to do. Now, y'all get ready for this one. What forgiveness does not require us to do is to forget. I'm letting you know that forgive and forget is not in the Bible, and it is not a biblical concept. Forgiveness does not require us to completely forget that someone did wrong to us. Even God does not forget our sins. He just chooses to forgive them. And anyway, we cannot selectively delete events from our memory anyway. There are times when we need to remember that someone has hurt us. And God sometimes uses our hurt to let us understand how not to be hurt again. You know, and we need to know and remember, because we need to avoid situations that could allow him or her to hurt us again. You see, since you must forgive, forgive. And as the old people told you, handle that person with a long handle spoon. You see, abusive relationships are good examples that you could use with forgiveness. And remember to forgive. You know, people got a bad understanding of forgive and forget. I'm gonna tell y'all this because it is so real. When I was married and I was fixing to get a divorce, and my ex-husband at this time, my husband at that time, he would always try to use the scripture on me, you know. And he would say, you know, God forgive everybody. You have to forgive me. And, you know, back then I wasn't as strong in the word as I am now. And I knew I wanted to be forgiven by God and all that God had forgiven me. So, you know, if you're not careful and if you haven't studied to show yourself approved, and, you know, you standing on sand and not on rock, on a solid rock foundation, you know, you might get caught up and, you know, you might have to say, I just didn't know. But I come to tell you tonight, the Holy Ghost whispered in my ear, he said, you done forgave him. He said, but you don't have to stay. The reason I was leaving was all right. And then somebody might say, well, you know, it's never right to leave a marriage, because what God has put together, let no man put asunder. But I knew for a fact God didn't put that together. Hello. And if we could have touched and agreed, God would allow us to be together. But it didn't happen. But God, the Holy Spirit, and I learned, because a lot of times, you know, a man and a woman could be fighting, and a man beat the woman up, and a man come back, and he say, you forgive me? And she say, yeah, because she say, yeah, she think everything is all right, and they back right where they was, and they ain't take care of no problem. Understand what forgiveness is, and please understand what it is not. Since you must forgive, forgive, and handle that person with a long-handled spoon. You see, with abusers, abusive relationship, we have to forgive at all times, but we don't have to stay all of the time. We can let go of the anger and resentment, but not forget the harm. Forgiveness is for you. It allows you to move on to bigger and better things in life, not holding on to the old, but embracing the new. And I'm going to tell you, don't stay stuck in your old story. this is what happened to me. This is what happened to me. You know, this and this what they did, and this what they should have did, and this what they didn't do, and this what they could have did, and this what they didn't do. Don't stay stuck in your old story. Allow God to bring you to a new beginning. Because watch this. Even your bad experience are going to be worked and used for your good. So don't worry about it. And if you realize that God don't allow nothing, you know, God is in control, and he either orchestrated or allowed. So if he allowed that experience in your life, it's because he's going to use it. And it's probably going to be for your good, and he's going to get glory out of it. So we have to keep on marching. We are soldiers. We must keep marching. We, you know, the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. We have to keep going on, and everything ain't going to feel good, and everything ain't going to look good, and everything ain't going to be good to us. But we have to go on in Jesus' name. You see, in a lesson, one was forgiven and the other one was unforgiven. When we don't forgive, we give Satan a foothold. And that's all he's looking for, a crack. He can only play in your head. Once Satan get in your head, he starts feeding you lies and deceptions. He help you to believe that the hurt you feel is too much to forgive or too big to forgive, and he make it personal and make you feel as if you're the only person this ever happened to. Not. So now you believe you are exempt from forgiving whoever in this situation, circumstance. It's a trick of the devil. God commanded forgiveness, not sometime and all time, not for little situations, but for all situations. Forgiveness is always necessary so you can receive all that God has for you. No wrong is too big to forgive. You know, and I pull this scripture out so you can see John 8 and 7. So when they continued asking him, John, the 8th chapter, the 7th verse, for those who have their Bible, John, the 8th chapter and the 7th verse. So when they continued asking, talking when they was asking Jesus, he lifted up himself and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. That means sin is sin. So all of us make mistakes. Some make bigger mistakes. But they got consequences, and we just supposed to forgive. There are situations that happen in our lives that we're not happy about. We carry guilt, pain, sorrow, shame with us all the time in every way. Even after a long period of time, we feel guilty. I have had many conversations with children, and most of them are grown now, are people, just say people, that always have these stories about what my parents did, should have did, didn't do, and so on and so on and so on. And they still singing that song, and they grown, and they singing, and they singing. You know, by now, maybe the parent now realized that maybe they could have done something better or different. And in some or most cases, if the parent realized it was wrong, they even asked for forgiveness. And you got to realize when children is children, and I don't mean no little baby, when children, teenagers, young adults, when they think they evaluate not a children eye, so some of the things, you know, you might have was doing the best you could, you know, whatever, whatever. Y'all know what the situations are. But you see, that child is not ready, willing, and ready to forgive the parents. And you see that child go around and complain and about and make excuses for everything that goes wrong in their lives. They blame it on the parent. They use every opportunity to hurt the parents, even though they may not be recognizing it or realize it. And the reason they try to hurt the parents, because they want the parents to feel the pain they feel. You see, that child, that person is in bondage, and after so long, they feel like this is the place they belong. They've been in bondage so long, they don't know what freedom feels like. Let's look at this for a moment. Number one, we cannot change the plan, the past. We cannot change the past, only create a future. So you're going to either be stuck in your past or you're going to be going for your future. Come on now. We cannot change the past, only create a future. Once we know better, we do better. You see, everyone will not accept your request for forgiveness once you ask them. They refuse to let go because they think that as long as they don't forgive you, they have power over you. And if you're not careful, you give the power to them. You walk on eggs because you don't want to say nothing because you know they're bitter and angry. And all of that stuff that go along with it. You see, most of the people you refuse to forgive, they done moved on. You know, they done came to acceptance in some cases. You know, they maybe done figured out what they did and they shouldn't do it, but they can't change it. And, you know, they might have got peace with themselves and with God. And they done moved on. And you still stuck in bondage. But with forgiving yourself, ask God for forgiveness. Except anybody who feel guilty and shame about anything in their life, I could have did better, you know, things we did in our lives that we know wasn't of God. And I'm sure all of us got some, you know, and some of us have understood, you know, how to get you know, forgive ourselves. But if you have anything like that and you holding on to anything like that, you know, ask God for forgiveness. Accept the part you played, then forgive yourself and move on in the name of Jesus. And for children out there, young adults, there's a certain rule I make up and I use, and I call it my 1836 rule. A lot of people that's been studying with me a long time, they probably laughing because they know what I'm fixing to say. And this is the rule. If your parents was responsible for you from ages 1 to 18, and now, you know, they might be to drop the age to 17, and, you know, you figure your mama didn't do right, your mama, your daddy didn't do right, they didn't buy you what you needed, they didn't support you, they didn't come take you to the Little League game or whatever, you didn't feel support, so your parents was responsible to age 18. Now, you are 36 years old. Anybody 36 or better? That means your parents had 18 and now at 36 you had full 18 too. And if your life is in a mess and a shamble and you ain't got it right so far, like a lot of them I know, still talking about what their mama didn't do and they ain't moved to nowhere and they always under the gun and can't get nothing straight, you need to look at it because you done had 18 years and you ain't did no better. So parents, forgive yourself and move on. And children, forgive your parents. Because you done had as many years as them. And you use your 18 years talking about what they didn't do and you didn't help yourself. You see, if a child is 36 or over, this means that the child has just much time to control their own destiny. If they still holding on to the past, there is nothing that you can do but forgive yourself and pray for them and let God complete the process of forgiveness. Remember, forgiveness is a process, and we have to forgive by faith. And that's our lesson for tonight. It is now 9:20, and I wanted to know if anybody had any comments, questions, or concerns on the lesson, or they want to interject anything in there. You know, plenty of times, most of the time, forgiveness is for us. We forgive the other person, but we have to forgive that we can move on. And believe me, forgiveness really frees you up. It really does. Because like they say it in a lesson, you no longer have to try to control the situation. Forgiveness, as the lesson says, is good for the soul. So I have a caller want to say something, and I'm going to open the mic, 985-224. Your mic is now open.
Good evening, Sister Di. This lesson
Good evening.
Was right. This lesson was right on target. I missed the beginning of your lesson. We had some bad weather, and Satan was trying to keep me because I don't like to get on the telephone when the lightning is so bad. But thank God, one last clap, and it was over, and I was able to come in. But I know I was late. But I just want to say thank you because I think that's something that especially our young people need to hear. And from personal experience, I agree with you that forgiveness is for you. It frees you. It frees you. And as long as you bottle up with that hatred, whatever the situation is, whoever the person is, they still have control over you. They are controlling you. And I just want to thank you. Thank God that I got in tonight. Thank you for that lesson. And I pray God's continued success to you. Thank you again, Di.
Thank you, Sister Brown. And what I'll do is I'll bring you my notes on the lesson tonight at church Sunday, and you could do the first part. Or if you buy any, you know, buy the computer, you know, you could listen to the lesson. But I thank you so much, and I'm glad that God allowed you to come in and get the part that you did, and I thank God for you calling and being on the program on Wednesday night. I love you, and I'll bring you that on Sunday. Thank you so much.
I love you too, Di. I won't be there Sunday, but hold on to it. I will get it the next Sunday, if it's God's will.
Okay, I forgot. I know you told me you wouldn't be there.
All right.
All right, darling.
Good
night. Is there anyone else who would like to say anything? We got a little time. But, you know, forgiveness is so important, you know. And when I did the lesson is learning, you know, you never put forgiveness in the category with that you got to forgive by faith. You know, you might have said, oh, I forgive you. You didn't know it's a process, and you might have know that God completes it, because God is the one that settles it in your heart. That's why sometimes you say, I forgive him, but I just can't. I'm just still holding on, because you got to do it by faith, and you got to bring it to God in prayer, and you got to let God complete it. It's our job to forgive. It's God's job to work the process, and completing it is in our heart. Now, if we forgave we forgave for true, not plain, or just saying it because it made it sound good. But if you truly forgave somebody, it's a process, and God makes it right in his own time. That's what the lesson taught us tonight. So we have to understand that what forgiveness, you know, is all about. Would anybody, since they don't have anything lit up, on the board, so evidently nobody would like to say anything. I'm going to go ahead on, because it's now 9:24, so that's almost 8:30. I always promise to let you go at 8:30, and the reason after 8:30 we're still on the line, because some people are here, and I began to play music, and they evidently love to hear the music with the word, you know, in song. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to do the benediction prayer, because if someone else don't want to stay on, I don't want to do the prayer after all of the music and they didn't get in with the prayer, because people may not realize it, but there are blessing and a benediction. You know, plenty of people be in church, and soon as the preacher stop preaching and before you even open the doors to the church for the sinners, and we should be there praying for the sinners, we walk out and you know, we miss the benediction, but there's blessing and a benediction. So I don't want anyone to miss their blessing. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and do the benediction prayer and close up with the benediction prayer. And then I'll start playing music. And even after I do all of that and the music start, if you want to say something, do anything, if you press the one button on your phone, I can still see through the mic, and I'll stop the music and I'll open your mic. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, thank you, dear God, for this lesson that went forth. Heavenly Father, I pray that it could help someone, that someone could use it. And if they can't use it, they could share it with someone else. It might be someone they know that have an unforgiving spirit about something, and they could see that it's destroying them, dear God. Let them share the word of God with that person. And dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I'm asking that you be with everybody that's on the line and listening through the internet and whatever where they are. Be with them and protect them this week, dear God. If they're going to travel on a highway, give them traveling grace, dear God. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon my girlfriend, Diane Morgan. She lost her husband on yesterday. Heavenly Father, you know, just be with her and strengthen her so she could go through with it. Do everything she has to do. And Lord, I'm asking that you bless my friend. I have a friend named Bobby Roy. He's going through chemo right now, dear God. And he say he's going to fight the good fight of faith. And I know you're going to be with him, dear God. Hold his hand, dear God. And Lord, please just don't let him suffer. Lord, and I'm asking that you just be with him. And it's my desire that you heal his body. But, you know, we always have to say in Jesus' name, and not my will, but your will. But, Lord, I'm letting you know my petition. And, Lord, I'm asking that you just look down upon my stepmother, Dorothy Ward, dear God. She was having a little bit funny feeling in her stomach, but it has passed. And I say thank you. Look down on my Aunt Audrey in Houma, Louisiana, that's having a little trouble with her eyes, dear God. Heavenly Father, let us see, because seeing to her is so important, and not just to her, but to everybody. But Heavenly Father, touch her eyes in a mighty way, and let her not suffer with pain. And dear Lord God, for all of the sick and the shedding, and bless our city, dear God, and bless our state, dear God, and bless our country. Bless our young boys, dear God, and rebuke Satan just enough time for them to say, what can I do to be saved? Heavenly Father, bless our families, our finances, dear God, and bless us in the blessings that we need in all of this and everything. I ask in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sakes, and let everyone say amen. And that's our lesson for tonight. And we're going to be back on Wednesday night, same time. If anybody would like anything special, because the lesson that we had tonight, one of the callers from Wednesday night called the prayer line, which is posted, and they asked for a lesson on forgiveness. And I'm so sorry, because you see, when you go on the internet, there's a prayer line, but when you call on the phone, you don't see the number for the prayer line. But I'm going to give you the prayer line number at this time. The prayer line number is 504-289-9501. And if you be in need of a prayer, you know, no matter what time, no matter what hour, you could call in and get prayer. And if, you know, they don't answer the phone and you leave a message, they'll definitely get back to you. Well, not they, but I. And that's what it is. But if anybody else, you know, if you want to say something as it go on, just press the button. And I just want y'all to know that I love each and every one of you. It is now 9:29. The lesson has gone forth. we right on time, and I'll begin to play the music because I have a lot of callers still on the phone. And I'm going to play the music, and if you want to say something, you could press the one button, and I'll be with you. And be blessed. I love each and every one of you, and God be with you until we meet again. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm going to get it back.
Don't have much to bring. My heart's torn.
take me to the King. And because God is an awesome God.
As we celebrate the greatness of our God.
Oh,
God is an awesome God. Well, I'm grateful. I'm thankful. And I praise God's holy name. And this is the end of our program for tonight. If it be the Lord's will, we'll meet back again on Monday. Pray for me as I pray for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And good night. Love you. Have a great week. See you back next week. Good night.